you read Scripture, you take the time not just to read the Gospel, but as you hear the readings from the Old Testament and from the New Testament and certainly the Psalm, you have an opportunity to kind of at least spend a few minutes thinking about them before we move to the sermon. As a general rule, I'll preach from the sermon most of the time. Occasionally, I'll make a connection between the sermon, the Gospel reading in the sermon, and some of the other texts. But for the most part, I like to rest with the Gospel reading and let the other readings kind of stand by and support it. I must admit, the reading from Exodus is fascinating. It's fascinating for a variety of reasons. Let me just share a few of them with you. We hear in our first verse that Moses came down from Mount Sinai. We should begin to think about the Ten Commandments. As he came down the mountain with two tablets of the covenant in his hand. In his hand, for God's sakes. You've got two stone tablets you're carrying in one hand. Moses was awfully strong. It seems obvious to me that that was the case. It just kind of struck me almost immediately that Moses was carrying the Ten Commandments in one hand. And that's not the most amazing part about the Scripture. He did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. In the Old Testament, to see the face of God almost always meant death. So I'm not sure how he talked with God. Although I do remember one other Scripture that perhaps makes it more clear. I'll save that for another time. But again, to be in conversation with God, to receive the Ten Commandments, in this case again, perhaps, and to not realize that your face is shining. How remarkable that is. But of course, everyone else recognizes that his face is shining. There are some New Age thinkers who've looked at the Scripture and said, you know what? God must have been some sort of alien. And he must have been radioactive. And that's why Moses' face was shining. I'm not going to go with that today. I don't think that's a good area to pursue. But the idea of having your face shine is kind of something that we have in our popular utterance. We have, people will say, wash your face. They don't mean just to go and get the dirt off. But the idea is that a shining face is kind of, it's the best possible way to portray yourself. And so, of course, young people, you will all be asked to make sure your face is washed on a regular basis, certainly in the mornings when you go to school. But even among some of us who are perhaps a little older, the idea of a washed face is something that we kind of take for granted, that we want to present ourselves in the best possible light. And one of the ways we do that is with a shining face, with a face that gets washed. Then we hear about how Moses talks to his those people who have surrounded him, first to Aaron, but to others. And there's a necessity almost to put a veil on his face because it must have been a bit unnerving to have a conversation with someone who had spoken with God and come back from that with their face shining. So a veil was almost necessary so that people aren't disheartened by that, by kind of seeing something otherworldly. But it also was a blessing. The idea of a shining face meant that indeed Moses had talked to God. That something important had happened here. That what Moses was conveying to his people wasn't Moses' ideas. It was God's ideas. It was God's plan for his people. And the guarantee was that Moses' face was shining. As long as Moses' face was shining, the people who had gathered around him, Aaron and others, knew that God was in conversation with him. It was a guarantee. As long as you knew that Moses' face was shining, you knew that there was a conversation going on. And what a blessing it must have been to God's people to know that they were making a direct connection with God in such a way. We continue to make a direct connection with God through the sacrament of Holy Communion, through Jesus' blood and through his flesh under the forms of bread and wine. We make a direct connection with God. It's not words that we receive. We have a sensory appeal as we receive both his body and blood in such a way. But we also have God's Word. and God's Word continues to be a blessing to us. And so this morning, besides having this reading from Exodus, we certainly also have a reading from the Gospel of St. Luke, where another miraculous thing happens. For in the midst of prayer, on the top of a mountain, Jesus has his closest disciples. He has Peter and James and John, and almost unexpectedly, almost in a moment, his face changes and his clothes become dazzling white. Now, in the Mideast, dazzling white doesn't happen all that often. Brightness is something, but dazzling white, it goes beyond anything anyone could expect. Even Moses' face, perhaps, was not as bright as Jesus' clothing, being transformed in such a way, being transfigured by God. And if that weren't enough, Elijah and Moses show up. Now, you have to realize that no one exactly knew what Elijah and Moses looked like. There were not a lot of cameras back in the Old Testament. So, I can only figure that Peter, James, and John must have heard them talking and said, "My golly, just listen to what they're talking about. The words that they're using, the language that they're using, that must be Elijah. We've heard their voices in Scripture. Now we actually hear their voices, and what are they saying?" They're talking to Jesus about his departure in Jerusalem, which he was about to accomplish. For people who know literature, that's foreshadowing. So we know that something else is going to happen in Jerusalem as we hear those words. And indeed, we hear more than that, for a cloud overshadowed all of them, and a voice from that cloud said, "This is my son, my chosen, listen to him." And soon that cloud was gone, and Jesus was by himself. And our gospel says, the next day there were still miracles to do. For his disciples could not cast out a demon. But our Lord, having been transfigured, yet now appearing as anyone else appeared, was able to do so. This season that we just have completed, and we will complete it with the Transfiguration, the season of Epiphany, is a season of light. And during the winter months, we love light. We're so very fortunate. Our grandparents and our great-grandparents simply did not have as much light as we have. They certainly didn't get a chance to enjoy a world filled with electricity, with the opportunities for light in almost every place. And so they treasured it. If you go back a few hundred years, it's hard to imagine living through the winters in the darkness with only perhaps a few candles and perhaps a lantern to light your way. And yet, even while we are bathed in light, sometimes darkness comes upon us. Sometimes the season of darkness, and certainly the darkness of this current age, comes upon us. And we need light. Light not from a material source, not technological light, but spiritual light. The light of Christ, the light of His Word, the light of the sacraments, to guide our feet, so that we might go and do those things which God calls us to go and do. That light began certainly with a star, which called to wise men at a great distance to come and follow that star until it came to rest above a child. That was the Epiphany of our Lord. We celebrated that not so long ago. Again, light being used by God to point the direction to the Messiah. And today, light, now coming from his clothes, now being dazzling white, points to one who is the Messiah and the Son of God. What a great encouragement that must have been to Peter, James, and John. They had been following the true Messiah. And what an encouragement it is for us. who still follow in the path of Christ. Very soon we will begin the season of Lent. Very soon we'll have the opportunity again to hear the story of our Lord's passion, his death, his resurrection, and certainly on Easter morning, his resurrection from the dead, and his life among his disciples. But until that day comes when we celebrate his resurrection, we have the opportunity to examine ourselves, to examine the dark places in our own lives, where perhaps light doesn't always shine. There's probably no one here who hasn't a place in their own home which is not well lit, perhaps a basement or an attic or a drawer, or perhaps one portion of your garage where you put things. Things that you don't need, but things that you don't want to throw away. Perhaps some of your bad habits are in those places. Perhaps things that you don't necessarily want to throw away, but by the same token, you don't want other people to see. It is the light of Christ that not only guides our feet, but reveals those places to us and calls us to do some cleaning. The season of Lent is an opportunity to do those kind of cleaning jobs, to perhaps do some spring cleaning, to dig into our homes, and perhaps more importantly, to dig into our lives and get rid of those things that perhaps have sat in the dust and darkness for so long. Bad habits, bad attitudes, anger, hatred, distrust, frustration, all those things that we didn't want to throw away but are a burden to us and certainly can be hurtful to others. My hope is as we hear the story of our Lord's transfiguration, we recognize that Christ through the Holy Spirit continues to transfigure our lives and our very being. God wants us to be enlightened people. People able and willing to share all of themselves with others, recognizing certainly their virtues, but recognizing their faults too. Seeking repentance for their sins and striving to lead a better life. At an earlier sermon, I had talked about the miracle of candles. You know, the church uses candles, even though it doesn't have to. We could use electric lights. It's not like we haven't figured out that that would be a cheaper, efficient way of bringing light into the church, but candles are special. Candles remind us of God's light coming into the world, certainly the light of Christ. And you can take an unlit candle, and you can hold it next to a lit candle so that both candles are lit. And the candle that was unlit doesn't steal any of the light from the candle which lights it. In the end, you have two lit candles and not one. And if you do that several more times, you may have a dozen lit candles, each with the same bright light. Our faith is like that. We can share it with others and not have any less than when we start. We can share our love in the same way. We can share our love with others, so that they might share their love with others. And no amount of love is lost or diminished along the way. During the season of Lent, I hope you'll be able not only to examine yourself and make changes in your life, but to find some way to share the light of Christ and the love of Christ with others. Because the world can be a very dark place at times. But God has given us his light and his love, that indeed we might be a blessing to the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.